Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. It's John Beener. Thanks for joining us. Hey, you're listening to Inspiration 316. We're all about the good news of Jesus Christ, everyday miracles happening in people's lives, even when they don't even know who in the heck Jesus is. Well, folks, he wants to be known. He wants to have a personal relationship with you and me and everybody else. And he's calling you, calling me to walk deeper in his purposes and plans. He's moving the world forward, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of bad media, you know, negative media, trying to sell the worst stories they can to shock you with ugly stuff so you stay attuned to it. Unfortunately, that's a nature that we have in us. You know, we listen up for garbage things, which we shouldn't be doing. But anyway, that's part of life. Part of what God had said to Adam and Eve, you're gonna have troubles in the world. So pay attention. Anyway, we got a show here today called His Game. His Game is little testimonies from these different guys who are athletes and have been superstars in their own field. Tim Tebow, heard of him? If you heard of him, then there's Stephen Curry, who's been the most valuable player a couple of times in the NBA. He's a guard who's only like 6 foot tall, but had a phenomenal impact. Then Carson Wentz, who is the quarterback, second-year quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he'd probably be playing in the championship game, except he broke his leg here recently. But a phenomenal little testimony by him. Then we've got Josh Hamilton, one of the best baseball players in the last 20 years. And improbable comeback from drugs, alcohol issues that he faced. A couple of comebacks there. And then Tony Dungy, incredible story by him. He actually lost his son to suicide, but he perseveres. There's witness for Christ, got 6 kids and a beautiful wife. And then we've got the final story about Michael Vick, again, who went to prison for dog games. What do they call that? Where they pit dogs against each other. Anyway, he's going to give his testimony and what God's meant in his life and come deeper into his relationship with Christ since being in prison and his rebound in the NFL as well. So let's get started here talking about His Game. Want to inspire you with testimonies. This is a great one by Tim Tebow. Listen into this.
Join me in welcoming Tim Tebow. Come on up, Tim. God blessed you to be born into a wonderful family, didn't he?
He sure did.
Mom and dad and brothers.
He really
and sisters.
Did. You know, I was born in the Philippines to missionary parents, and I was the baby of five. I have two older brothers and two older sisters, and we're extremely close. And, you know, I was blessed because I just have the best parents in the world. And, you know, for me, being able to have a role model like my dad to look up to, not because of what he said, but because of what he did. Mm-hmm. And the actions that he lived out in front of me every day, of how to be a man, of how to treat your wife, of how to live out what you preach, how to be passionate about something, how to make a difference in this world. And I was truly blessed to have two wonderful parents.
Yeah, you know, I remember...
God has a special plan for each person. He has a special plan for your life. You know, God has a poem written out for you and written out for me. And it's our job, and it should be our goal, to follow that poem and for our life. Because regardless whether you think it or not, that's the best way to live. Because that's where you're going to find true satisfaction and a life of significance, is when you're following God's plan for your life. And it may not be to be a professional football player, it may be whatever it is, but God has a plan for your life. And at the end of the day, that will be what is truly satisfying and what is true fulfillment in your life.
Yeah,
right? You know, whatever position God puts you in, he puts you there for a reason. And you know, you may not be able to go on TV, or you may not be a preacher, but you can still influence people for Jesus Christ. You see, God just gives us all a different platform. He gave me the opportunity to play football, and that is my mission field. He gave each one of us a different mission field, But it doesn't mean that it's not as significant and one's better than the other. It just means that they're different. And for me, you know, I look at my life and being a football player, I look at that as being a missionary to the game of football and to the players of football. And, you know, the platform that football has given me to be able to walk into a hospital and make a kid smile, to be able to sign an autograph and to be able to share my faith and to be able to wear scripture under my eyes and do things like that, you know, it truly is a blessing and it can influence someone's life if you just take advantage of it.
Tell us, you know.
So then I was like, all right, I think I'm going to put on there. And immediately, God put on my heart John 3:16, because that is the essence of Christianity. And so I went up. This is 2 days before we played the game. Now I went up to my parents' hotel room and I was like, Mom, Dad, I think I'm going to change the verse under my eyes for this game. And they're like, great, that's wonderful. What are you going to go with? I was like, John 3:16. They're like, all right, great. So then I was like, I'm going to go tell Coach Meyer. So I go down and I go tell Coach Meyer, and Coach Meyer's like, Timmy, whoa. Like, what are you talking about? Philippians 4:13 is the awesome verse and it got us to the national championship. Like, you better put Philippians 4:13 in your eyes. I was like, Coach, trust me, it's the right thing for this game. And he was like, well, if you think so, you can do it. And so then I told my brother and everybody was like, oh, that's great. And then all the players were like, are you sure? Like, and so, you know, it was totally a God thing. I put John 3:16 under my eyes and didn't think about it again. And 2 days later, I was sitting down with lunch with my mom and my dad and Coach Meyer deciding if I was going to come back for my senior year or not. And Coach Meyer got a call. And he hung up and he said, Timmy, you know the verse you under your eyes, John 3:16? I said, yes, sir. He was like, do you know within 24 hours of that game being aired, 94 million people Googled John 3:16?
My, praise God for that. 94 million. Isn't it amazing how God can take that which we think is little?
It really is, and it's something that I would never thought would have got that attention. It's just something little I put under my eyes, but you know, I was just trying to be obedient to God and listen to Him and whatever He put on my heart trying to do, and it's not even like I knew exactly what I was doing. I was just trying to do the right thing.
Well, it's the loaves and fishes, what you talked about when you talked about finishing well.
Yes, sir.
I love the passion that you have, not only on the playing field, but also for Jesus.
Yes, sir. You know, that's something that has been extremely big in my life is trying to live with passion. When I was a boy, shared with me about living with passion. And so from that moment on, everything I did in my life, I tried to do it with passion. In football, in school, in life, my Christian life, I tried to live with passion and love my life and what I was doing. And I thought on the football field, on the baseball field, on the baseball diamond, on the basketball court, that was going to separate me. Because when you love what you do and you're passionate about it, that coach is going to see. Your teammates are going to see. They're going to be drawn to you. They're going to want to listen to you. Because like, what is it that's different about you? Then it gives you the opportunity to say, you know what's different about me? Is I got a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what's different about me. And you would consider your life a success. Timmy, wouldn't you? You would consider your life a success. And I was just looking at this lady like, she has no idea. And I was like, yes, ma'am, I would consider my life a success. But it has nothing to do with winning national championships or winning a Heisman or having people know who you are. It has everything to do with having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, how I deal with that is I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And in that, there is peace, and in that, there is satisfaction.
Right.
That's Tim Tebow speaking years ago at a church in Orlando, talking about his testimony and the significance of life and relationship with Christ. Phenomenal testimony, of course. Now he plays baseball, and he's still got the same. He's on other shows now, giving his testimony the same way. And that story has been repeated and evidently has been duplicated in another way. About 94 million people Googled John 3:16 because he wore it under his eyes. Used to be for years that athletes would wear, I even did it in high school, you wear black under your eyes so that the lights and the glare that comes sometimes even in the middle of the day, okay, glares around your eyes, so that reduces the glare. And so that black used to be a kind of a chalk thing that they would put under your eyes. Then they eventually went to a black tape they put under your eyes, and that's where Tim Tebow started putting it on scripture on his eyes, his tape under his eyes. And again, eventually the NCAA outlawed all that stuff, so it's not done anymore. But it's still a phenomena to hear that 94 million people in the national championship game saw that John 3:16 and looked it up on the internet. 94 million people. That's about a third of our whole population. That is amazing in America. And so phenomenal. Listen to two stories here by Stephen Curry. First talking about receiving the MVP award, and then we'll go right into the other one about a motivational speech that he gave to inspire people. This guy's a phenomenal athlete, three-point shooter, playmaker for the Warriors. It's a Golden State Warriors team, and still a phenomenal player today, and they're still winning championships with him. Listen in.
I am a little nervous, Bob. This is a tremendous honor. You know, first and foremost, I have to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for blessing me with the talents to play this game, with the family to support me day in, day out. I'm his humble servant right now, and I can't say it enough how important, you know, my faith is to how I play the game and who I am. So I'm just blessed, and I'm thankful for where I am. I love playing basketball. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's something I've been doing since I was, mom, dad, two, with Fisher Price goals. I mean, my grandma's here. We were talking about it yesterday. She used to be my commentator. She used to be Bob Fitzgerald for me, counting down the scores. I hit a game-winning shot or whatever, and I'd stumble over and give her a high five and stuff like that. So from that beginning to be standing here in front of you today, it's an incredible journey. A lot has gone into it. A lot of great people that I've met along the way that have every bit of, you know, to do with that trophy as I do. And I'm going to try to get through, obviously, the people that are here and people that are watching that have been extremely significant in my journey. But if, obviously, I don't get to you and you had a part in it, you know, please understand that. This hasn't sunk in at all. I'm on cloud nine for sure. Obviously, we're in the middle of a playoff run, and that's the most important thing. But today is a celebration for sure, and want to be able to take the time to really appreciate what this means. I talked about faith, passion, obviously the drive with the guys that I've been around and the guys that surround me every single day. But a part of that is having the will to succeed. You know, knowing that you put the work in and have the confidence to let it show. What I tell people is just be the best version of yourself in anything that you do. You don't have to live anybody else's story. Sometimes people make it seem like you have to have certain prerequisites or a crazy life story in order to be successful in this world. But the truth is, you really don't. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you have or don't have, what you lack, what you have too much of, but all you need to have is faith in God, an undying passion for what you do or what you choose to do in this life, and a relentless drive and the will to do whatever it takes to be successful and whatever you put your mind to. Make sure you live in the moment and work your butt off every single day. And I hope I inspire people all around the world to just be themselves, be humble, and be grateful for all the blessings in your life. And I'm truly honored to be your MVP this year. So thank you very much. I was always the smallest kid on my team. When it comes to basketball, I was always the smallest kid on my team.
You know, everything happens for a reason, and there's a story to everything. And if you take time to realize, you know, what your dream is and what you really want in life, no matter what it is, whether it's sports, whether it's in other fields, you have to realize that there's always work to do, and you want to be the hardest working person in whatever you do, and you put yourself in position to be successful. And you have to have a passion about what you do. And basketball was mine, and that's what's carried me to this point.
All right, that was Stephen Curry, again, MVP for the Golden State Warriors NBA championship. He won that trophy twice, talking about his relationship with Christ, how he was small. He was the smallest kid. His dad had played in the NBA for a short time. I don't recall how long, but obviously always inspiring. His other brother actually played for Duke University and didn't quite make it under the NBA, but they have a tradition of basketball in their family. Again, a great witness for Christ, humble, willing to tell the story, give God the credit at the MVP honors award ceremony there. And I think it was somewhere on the West Coast when they awarded it that day. But we're talking about his game. God's in the game with you. If you play any kind of sports or have played sports, we had interviewed the director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes about a month ago. He was here in town out of Kansas City, their headquarters, and the phenomenal thing they're doing with kids all over the country and, in fact, around the world. They're not only working in middle schools and high schools and in colleges, but they're also working in clubs. I didn't understand the grasp of or how big clubs are, but these are teams that come together in a local area, and they get a volunteer coach, and they may play just in the area, or they may play statewide as well. Got a friend whose son has been very active in that. Next is Carson Wentz. Carson was born, raised in North Dakota, or was it South Dakota? He's going to tell us here in this audio. But he is now the quarterback. He was the number one draft choice of the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's taken him to the playoffs and unfortunately broke his legs. And I think that was the 11th game. No, had it been more than that, probably the 14th or 15th game of the season. But the playoffs are happening right now. Listen to some of what Carson says about his relationship with the Lord.
I was a really busy kid. I was like most kids. I was really into sports, I was good in school. I was on the go, drove my parents crazy because I was so busy. But I was a good kid. See, I went to church. I stayed out of trouble. I got good grades. I made the right decisions. I did the right things. See, I thought I was right with God when I was a kid because I did the right things, because I did good things. But I didn't really know what I believed or why I believed until I went to college. I went to college and one of the first practices my freshman year, I'm in a new place. I left this wonderful community. It was in Fargo. Now I got a whole new playbook to learn. My head is spinning. It's one of the first practices, and there's a senior quarterback at the time. His name was Dante Perez. I doubt anyone knows who that is, but Dante Perez was a third-string quarterback, and he sits there and he asks me while we're stretching, he's like, "Hey, bro, have you ever read the Bible?" I'm just like, "Bro, like, not right now. Let's not talk about this right now. My head is spinning. I'm trying to learn football." And so, obviously, I was taken aback right away, but then I let it sink in, and it really hit me. And so, long story short, Dante and I ended up meeting together once a week for the entire first year of college, went through the Bible together, and he was just really a mentor to me. I ended up reading through the whole New Testament that freshman year, that first semester of my freshman year, and my view of what Christianity was completely flipped on its head. Because you see, as a man, as a football player, as a student, And I'm sure a lot of us in this room can relate, especially being from North Dakota, the hard work ethic and the values that we all learn. I've been wired to work for and earn everything that I'm going to get. That's how I've always been wired. That's how it's been instilled in me. That's how the Lord created me. And that applies to so many things in my life. And I was just like, hey, that's got to apply to my faith too, right? I'm just going to earn it. I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to make the right decisions. I'm going to be a good kid. And I'm going to get to heaven. But you see, I missed the point. I missed the point in a big way. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus and he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we'll come back to that in a second. But you see, the myth in our world, the myth in even some churches, the myth in our minds a lot of times, is that if I just have faith in Jesus and I do the good works, I do enough of them, that I'll have salvation. That's what a lot of people will tell you. That's kind of what the world will advertise. But see, in Ephesians 2:8, it shows so clearly that that's wrong. You see, the truth is that faith alone in Jesus is what leads to salvation, and then the works come out of your salvation. See, Christianity is the only religion in the world where you can't earn right standing with God. You can't earn heaven. You can't earn your afterlife. You can't earn good karma, whatever other religions think. It's the only religion in the world you can't earn it, because it's already been earned. Jesus already earned it. Well, what's our mission? Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So this is Jesus talking now to his disciples. So what's the mission? "You'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So that's what we're called to do. We're called to spread the gospel, be on mission, do it with love. So I actually just recently went on a mission trip to Haiti. But the biggest thing that hit me and convicted me was that I just went to a whole nother country, flew across the ocean into a country where they don't even speak English, went to these villages with a translator and told them about Jesus. And I can sometimes struggle just to turn and tell the guy sitting next to me in my locker room about Jesus. I can go through all these steps, all these hoops and money and everything, time commitment, to go talk about Jesus, which is great. They need it too. But I can barely turn to my neighbor sometimes. And that hit me. That convicted me. See, now I have this new sense of mission, this new sense of being intentional with my conversations, intentional with the things I do, intentional when I'm at practice, when I'm doing a photo shoot, whatever it may be. I just have this new sense of being intentional with it. And you see, here's the deal. Anybody can do it. You don't need to have this big platform. You don't need to have X amount of followers on Twitter to feel like, okay, now I can go make a difference. We're all called to. So I just want to challenge you with that and be intentional with your conversations and where's your heart in those issues and in those times. But again, don't forget, it's not for us to change hearts. God does that. It's our job just to plant the seed and be obedient with that. So I want to leave you with this. If you're standing before God today and he were to ask you what you've done to deserve to enter into his kingdom, what would you say? Where does your mind go? Where does your heart go? You see, if what comes to mind is, well, I go to church on Sundays. It's pretty good. Well, I pray every day. pretty good. Well, I try and read my Bible at least a couple times a week. I'm a good person. I tithe. If all these things come to mind, you're missing the point. You're still living in that bondage of earning it. You see, the first thing that needs to come to mind is Jesus. He already did it for us, like I just talked about. It's all about accepting Jesus, and that's it. Don't miss that point.
Again, that is Carson Wentz. Again, quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. This guy's a phenomenon. I think he's 6'5", played at, I think it was North Dakota State. It may have been South Dakota State. But the point is, then they won the championship in their division a few years ago. The guy's a phenomenon. All right, we got to take a break here. We got Cry Out to Jesus with Third Day. We'll be back shortly. We're talking about his game today, the Lord's game. It's football, basketball, baseball, all of them. Listen in.
And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you where.
I-95 going south at the MLK 20th Street Expressway exit. Look out for an accident on the left. On 295 north at Beach Boulevard, we're counting at least three cars involved in a crash. And 295 remains backed up all the way past Atlantic to Monument because of two other accidents. It's going to be clear tonight. The overnight low is 62, but tomorrow is going to be rainy with thunderstorms by afternoon. Our high tomorrow, 76.
And to all of the people with burdens and pains, keeping you back from your life. You believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for.
Again, thanks for coming back. This is John Bean here. Listen to Inspiration 360. You're talking about today's theme being his game. His game is all of them. His game is athletics, basketball, football, baseball, whatever it may be. We got testimonies for each one. We had Stephen Curry. We had Tim Tebow in the first half. Carson Wentz, quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're going to come back here with Josh Hamilton in baseball, Tony Dungy football, and Michael Vick football as well. But this is amazing stuff. God is working in people's lives, whether they know him or not. You know, it's amazing. We're sponsored today by Christian Healing Ministry, one of my favorite ministries out there. They are real international in scope. They're founded by Francis and Judith McNutt. We had the privilege of having Francis at our home many years ago, and I introduced us to people that worked for him for many years after that as well. But Judith McNutt is leading the ministry now, and we're going to have the privilege of meeting with her soon, coming up this week with a group of Wise Council members, entrepreneurs, and thank Lee Lyon for his special help because he and his wife have gotten involved in the Christian Healing Ministry, not as counselors, but as servants and leaders to help people and willing to pray for people because they've had some of the needs themselves and got tremendous healing from their experience with the Christian Healing Ministry. And a lot of their ministry is about inner healing, not physical healing, even though obviously that could take its place as well. But inner healing is where you've had barriers or burdens or your parents weren't too good, your friends weren't too good, how they treated you, and there's scars on the inside of you. Anybody have that out there besides me? We all got those scars, and I've been there personally at the Christian Healing Ministry and went through a prayer time. And when I left there, man, the burden was all gone that was bothering me. I had a spirit of rejection that was over me at the time. That's been probably 7 or 8 years ago, but I'm going to go back again for more things like that because it's really a dynamic place to be involved with. Great volunteers, mostly. Doesn't cost anything. 765-3332 is their phone number. 904-765-3332. Or go to their website, Christian Healing Ministry. You're going to need to fill out an application to go in, but it's well worth your time. It's really amazing what they have done. They've given me wisdom and knowledge and discernment I have never had before about God's love and inner healing that can take place. There's a story here of Josh Hamilton. I didn't know much about him, but he was a baseball player. I don't think he's playing anymore, but he played for the Texas Rangers as well as the California Angels as well. I'm trying to think, they call him the Los Angeles Angels or what, but the anyway, he also played for another team. It may have been Cincinnati, but anyway, he got caught up in drugs because of severe back pain. I think he had surgery and got on Oxycontin. So many happens. I know other people have had the same experience where you get addicted once you get on the Oxycontin. It's like the opioid problem. Listen to the Josh Hamilton story here.
He's been called a modern-day Mickey Mantle.
Hit down the line and right, and goal!
Texas Rangers slugger Josh Hamilton is one of the most feared hitters in the game. A legitimate home run threat every time he steps to the plate. But like the Yankees legend, Josh's career on the field was nearly overshadowed by his life off of it. June 2nd, 1999. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays drafted 18-year-old Josh Hamilton with a number one overall pick. He was on the fast track to the majors, until a car accident nearly killed him. Sidelined with injuries, Josh passed the time hanging out with new friends at a tattoo parlor.
I had my first drink of alcohol and did my first line of cocaine the same night. I can't say why I did it other than just curious.
His curiosity led to addiction. And over the next few years, Josh checked himself in and out of rehab 8 times. Because of baseball's drug testing policy, Josh was suspended and his career was in jeopardy. He tried cleaning up his act after he met Katie, and the two soon married.
He told me he just gotten out of rehab, and he was drug-free, and he was at that point. And I just figured, oh, well, he's out of rehab. He's drug-free. He's saying he's drug-free. He's going to stay that way.
I was clean for 5 months when we got married, and we got married in November. She got pregnant in December, and I went back out and started using it in January.
I was just floored. I just could not even believe it. Our marriage was so completely broken that you couldn't even see a way to try and fix it, to try and start putting it back together because there was just not a marriage left.
Josh quit taking drug tests and was suspended again from baseball. He and Katie separated. His body was taking a beating from the drugs and he lost 50 pounds. Then one night, out of desperation, he showed up on his grandmother's doorstep and asked if she would take him in. She hardly recognized her grandson.
She knowing that I was using and saying to me that she knew what I was doing, and you know, she started crying and said she couldn't take it anymore, seeing me like that.
I don't even know how he was surviving because he was a skeleton, you know, he didn't even look like the same person. And just mentally, you know, I felt like he didn't have any grasp on reality.
That's when Josh's grandmother challenged him to surrender his life to God. So Josh started reading the Bible, even though his addiction still gnawed at him.
I'd be in the Word and praying, and then all of a sudden one day, I'd go 3 or 4 days without doing it, and then I'd be back using.
Times were tough for Katie.
I was completely desperate for God. For the first time in my life, I just was desperate for Him, and I needed Him. I needed every bit of him that I could get because there was nothing in me that could get me through that time. I would be in my car praying for him, and it was just like I could feel God right there with me, you know, just bringing me so much peace and joy in the midst of a complete disaster.
Katie called Josh and told him she believed she'd heard a message from God.
She said, Josh, you've been praying about it, and, you know, God's going to let you get back to baseball. And I was saying, yeah, whatever, you know. And she said, no, it's true. She said, I've been praying about it. He laid it on my heart that you were going to get back to baseball, but it's not going to be about baseball. It's going to be about where he brought you from and what he's brought you through.
Even though Josh laughed at the idea, it encouraged him to continue reading his Bible. Katie continued looking to God.
God just kept saying, just wait, just wait, just trust me. And you know, when you're going through turmoil, wait, it's not really the answer you want to hear, but he just gave me the strength to continue to wait on him.
And soon, Katie's prayers were being answered.
You know, watching Katie, her relationship with God strengthened so much, and her leaning on him and depending on him when I was doing that tour, that sank in about, you know, a month or two after I started getting my act together.
Josh and Katie reconciled. He gave up drugs and alcohol, and he was baptized.
Just watching the transformation that God's made in Josh's life, I mean, it's just been so awesome and such a gift from the Lord just to see what he's done in him.
After 3 years away from baseball, the league reinstated Josh Hamilton. In spring training 2007, a shock to the baseball world. The Cincinnati Reds added Josh to their roster. A year later, he was traded to the Rangers, and his career took off. He's a four-time All-Star and the reigning American League MVP. And these days, he won't even touch alcohol. When the Rangers clinched the pennant, Josh celebrated with a cool bottle of ginger ale.
People think there's coincidences in life, and there's no coincidence. But God's got a plan. There's nothing I did besides try to make the right choices and let God take over from there. There's one solid and permanent way out of it, and that's finding the Lord Jesus Christ.
Boy, isn't that the truth? One solid way out of it. Jesus Christ, we all have a body, soul, and a spirit. And if your soul isn't connected with Christ, you got a mixed up soul. You only got half the story. The other half is you got to be in the world, but not of the world. Be of the leading of Jesus Christ. That's where the mind has to wrestle and get rid of some of the garbage the world's been telling you and thinking. You've been thinking, you've been inheritance. You know, but there's a third aspect, and that is the Spirit. The Spirit is where God comes and enters in and fills you with the Holy Spirit as you commit your life to Christ. That's what he finally did, Josh Hamilton. And he did it, and he did it, and he kept doing it, as I have done multiple times. God is in the center of your life if you let him be there. If you let the Holy Spirit take over and lead you in righteousness, lead you in wisdom, knowledge, discernment, the things that God will show you and use your life as a difference. He'll make a significant life change out of you and in you and through you. I love what Carson went. We didn't get to talk about that. What he said is you can't earn your relationship with Christ. You have to. He thought he was. He was trying to earn it all his life. You know, there's a lot of people still in church, in churches where they don't teach about the personal relationship with Christ, where earning it doesn't really work. It's a gift that God gives, but we have to make a commitment to him for it to come to pass, for it to come and mature in us. God has a purpose for all of that. He allows that suffering. He allows the persecution we go through. You know, we can be crying out, but if we're not really willing to give it up yet to him, let him be in control instead of trying to be in control ourselves, you know, which is what Carson was talking about trying to do. And I'm sure many other athletes have gone through that same kind of experience. All right, let's go ahead and check out here what Tony Dungy has to say. He, again, lost his son to suicide, but was the coach of the Tampa Bay, and then the Indianapolis coach with under Peyton Manning, and which won a couple of Super Bowls, but inspiring coach that is just a joy to listen to. I think he was talking in 2006 Super Bowl breakfast at this particular event. Listen in.
I want to talk about something that's very important to me, and I want to build on what Curtis talked about. I want to talk about my relationship with Christ, what God has done in my life, and some of the things that I've seen him do. And I know as a football coach, it's oftentimes better to use illustrations than to talk. With our team, I can show one video clip of a play that an opponent is going to run, and it's much better than me talking for 15 minutes. So I'm going to illustrate three things that I've learned about the Lord, and I'm going to use my boys to illustrate that. I'm going to start with my middle son, Eric. He's 14 years old, and if you watch a lot of football, you've probably seen him on the sidelines of Colts games. He looks more like me than my other two boys do. As a matter of fact, he looks so much like me, when I look at him, I see myself at 14, and I see a lot of the same things. Eric is very, very competitive, ultra competitive. He's focused on sports to where it's almost a problem. He's super emotional to where it's almost scary. Now, those of you that see me now would say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound a lot like you. But it was me at 14. I grew up not too far from here in Jackson, Michigan, and there's some people in this room that knew me when I was 14 years old. And when people talk about me being composed and calm on the sideline, my buddies laugh because that's not the guy they remember. I was the guy that got the technical fouls, that got thrown out of the games, that got in the fights. I quit the team my senior year because I had a disagreement with the coach. And now when people ask me, how do you stay so calm on the sideline, I really have to tell them, it is Christian maturity. Okay, and it's Christ working in me, much as Curtis said. It's not natural. It didn't happen overnight. It was a process. So when I look at Eric now at 14 and I look at myself, that's one of the things I know about God. I know how powerful his spirit is. I know that he can change people. And I know that he'll do that if we allow him to. And I really believe he's going to do that with Eric as he grows. Second way I've seen God's hand at work is through our youngest son, Jordan. He's 5 years old. Jordan was born with a rare, very, very rare neurological condition. It's called congenital insensitivity to pain. There's only two or three cases in the whole United States. It's a little more prevalent in other countries, but there's only been about three diagnosed in the United States. And basically what happens, he's missing the conductors that allow the nerve signals to go from his body to his brain. And that sounds like it's good at the beginning, but I promise you it's not. Okay? We've learned a lot about pain in the last 5 years since we've had Jordan. And we've learned that some hurts are really necessary for kids. Okay? Pain is necessary really for kids to find out the difference between what's good and what's harmful. Jordan loves cookies, and cookies are good for you. But in his mind, if they're good out on the plate, they're even better in the oven. And so he will go right in the oven, if my wife's not looking when she's baking them, reach in, take the rack out, take the pan out, burn his hands, okay, eat the cookie that's too hot, burn his tongue, and never feel it. And he doesn't know that that's bad for him. When we go to the park, he'll go on the slide, and all kids know it's fun to go up the slide and slide down, and he has fun doing that too. To him, it's just as much fun jumping off from the top. He has no fear of anything, so we constantly have to watch him. We've also learned that pain actually helps the body heal. Something I didn't know until talking with the doctors, that you get an injury, your brain senses there's pain there, and it sends the right healing agents naturally to that spot, okay? Because it senses something's wrong. Okay? Without that sensation of feeling something's wrong, Jordan's body doesn't send those healing agents, and consequently he's got cuts from June and July that haven't healed yet. The other thing we've noticed with him and our other four kids is that pain is the quickest way to get your kids to come back to you. And if you have young kids, you've all experienced that before. Hey, don't do this, don't do that, you're going to get hurt. They don't always listen, but as soon as they get hurt, they come screaming back to you. Okay? We've got a daughter the same way. She's the same way, and as soon as something happens, she runs and races, and it's very dramatic, but she comes and jumps in your arm. Jordan, be careful. Don't run in the house. You're going to run into something, you'll get hurt. Bam! but he keeps on going because he doesn't feel the pain and he doesn't turn back to us all the time. So that's what we've seen, and really you get the question all the time, as Curtis brought up, why does the Lord allow pain in your life? Why do bad things happen to good people? If God is a God of love, why does he allow these hurtful things that Curtis described to happen? Well, we've learned that a lot of times, because of that pain, that little temporary pain, you learn what's harmful. You learn to fear the right things. Pain sometimes lets us know we've got a condition that needs to be healed. Okay? And pain inside sometimes lets us know that spiritually we're not quite right and we need to be healed, and God will send that healing agent right to the spot. And sometimes pain is the only way that'll turn us as kids back to the Father. So we've learned a lot about that.
That's amazing. That is Tony Dungy again talking about his family. He didn't talk very much about his oldest son who committed suicide. That's another segment we don't have time to play, but his oldest son committed suicide. I think it's been, oh gosh, 5-6 years ago, maybe longer than that. But it was a shock to them. He was a young man that went through ups and downs of depression, would try to put himself in the room. He had gone off to college, and he'd had ups and downs with different depressions, and they helped him in many ways. He said he was committed to serve Christ, but got so deep in depression that he took his life one day. And he said that, I asked people not to be sorry for me because of that, because what's happened is that other people have come to Christ since his son passed away at the funeral, and others, as he's told the story about his son, and also they donated his eyes and other body parts to other people who have been so grateful and who didn't have those body parts that they needed. And so he lives on in those people, and that he believes that he's in heaven with the Lord, and that he was a witness. And he said, of course, how am I to deny the Lord? How am I to deny God to sacrifice my son as he sacrificed his own son for all of us in Jesus Christ? Incredible story of Tony Dungy. Listen in to Michael Vick's story. We're going to get a part of this. Amazing. He went to prison for persecuting dogs in some kind of a competition. Remember what they call it. Listen in to part of this interview.
In April 2007, Michael Vick's cousin got arrested for possession of marijuana. He then told the police that he lived at Vick's house, and the police came and searched the home and noticed blood on the floors. They suspected that an illegal dogfighting operation was being run inside the house.
Vick himself denied any involvement, but as the days and weeks went on and the evidence piled up around him, Vick faced the loss of his freedom and his multi-million dollar contract.
After 6 seasons with the Falcons, Michael was on top of the football world, but his competitive activities off the field sent him straight to prison.
Let's talk about just that moment of being stripped of everything, when you feel like, when you realize it, man, I've just lost everything.
That was tough. That was a hard pill to swallow. You know, you got to take into consideration everything that you have worked for, you know, everything that you have been given. The hardest part is thinking about the good times.
Did you ever break down?
Broke down plenty of times, yeah. Absolutely. I'm a man. I'm a tough guy. I endure it a lot. I can endure a lot. But sometimes you get weak. I didn't even cry because I lost my freedom. You know, that wasn't even the hard part. You know, I cried because I lost my family, I lost my loved ones, and I'm family oriented. So that's what got me.
When he went to prison, Michael was engaged to Kiafa and had 3 children, Maitez, Jada, and London.
You know, Maitez, he kind of understood it early, you know, after seeing it on TV and cried and we talked about it. But Jada at the time was 3 and a half, and I was behind the glass, and she kept telling me to come over the underside of the glass, and I couldn't. It's rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
At what point did you have total remorse for your actions in dogfighting?
You know what's so crazy? I always had remorse for my actions and what I was doing, even in the moment. When I was doing it, I always felt like, man, why? You know, why am I even involved in this? And I still think I went to prison because it was certain people that I needed to get away from. So it was bigger than dogfighting. It was bigger than, you know, my situation as a whole. I think it was, you know, it was done to bring awareness to that. It was done to show that regardless of who you are, you know, you will get punished and you're not above the law. And for me, you know, spiritually, you know, don't lose sight of, you know, how you got here. Stay humble.
Michael spent 18 months in prison before he was released in 2009. Naturally, he wanted to make it back to the NFL. But first, he had to make things right with God.
The time I spent in prison, I spent putting my ideas together on, you know, how I was going to come back and make it all right. I still prayed. I still felt like having my faith was the best thing that I could have, you know, more so than money or anything else.
In August of 2009, after the Falcons organization released him, Michael was offered a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles as a third stringer. But by the next season, after the trading of Donovan McNabb, Michael became the starter. The true Michael Vick had arrived. He's now in his 10th season in the NFL, and he's been a busy man. He and fiancée Kiafa got married in the offseason, and he's thrust himself into several charitable works through the Team Vick Foundation, as well as working with the Humane Society to help strengthen animal welfare laws. He's also written a book entitled Michael Vick, Finally Free, which chronicles in detail his journey. And he says that this time around, his priorities are in order, and his relationship with God is at the very top.
It's evident that I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You just look at everything that I've been through. You know, look at my walk, look at, you know, how I've been able to come back. Look at what I've been given. You know, even in my darkest moments, those are the times when you need to lean on Christ. Why wouldn't you? Who else are you going to lean on?
How is Michael Vick different before incarceration and now?
Before I go to sleep now, I make sure I take time to say my prayers. You know, regardless of what type of day I had, regardless of what type of night that I had, you know, I give thanks, you know, throughout the day now. I thank God for the clothing that I have. I thank God for me being able to wake up and be with my kids and my family and, you know, the blessings that I've been given. So, you know, I'm just following the footsteps that I'm supposed to follow and walking the walk that I'm supposed to walk. You know, so I think I'm favored. I feel like I got to give my blessings. You know, I feel like I got to give my thanks. You know, so, you know, I make sure my priorities are in order. I make sure I walk that walk and, you know, I'm being obedient. Even though I'm not a saint, I don't do everything right. You know, I think it's all in your belief and how strong it is. And I think mine is stronger than most.
Again, Michael Vick went to prison for 18 months for dog fighting. Actually, it took place in his home. I didn't realize that part of it. Number one draft choice in the NFL many years ago. Tony Dungy mentored him while he was in prison and even afterwards to try to encourage him, get him on the straight path to walk with Christ. That's what it's all about, folks. It's his game. That's where the theme of today's show's been. His game, football. We had Tim Tebow, Stephen Curry, Carson Wentz. We had Josh Hamilton, Tony Dungy, and then Michael Vick. God bless you. Pray that these stories inspire you or share it with friends. Let us know. Give us some feedback. John at Inspiration316.com. Love to hear from you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.